Chapter 8, The Voyage. The best of the voyage for me was my visits with Long John Silver. He was always kind and happy to see me whenever I popped up in the galley. "No one's more welcome than you," he would say. "Captain Flint was just predicting success to our voyage." Captain Flint was Silver's parrot and a noisier bird I could not imagine. She would shout, "Pieces of eight, pieces of eight, pieces of eight," until I wondered that the bird did not faint from lack of breath. "That bird's 200 years old," Silver told me as he threw a handkerchief over the parrot's cage to quiet it, "and she's learned a few words she shouldn't, but she means no harm for them." Silver's company worked wonders on the men, too. They clearly liked him and obeyed him. The coxswain, Israel Hands, told me he'd known Silver as a sound man with two legs.
"He's no common man," Hands said to me. "He can speak like a book, and he's brave. A lion's nothing alongside of Long John."
I heard far less praise for our captain. He admitted that the Española was a fine craft, but still often muttered,
"We're not home again yet, and I still don't like the cruise."
Several times I thought the squire might explode when the two men came too close. The squire was a firm believer in kindness and insisted the crew have good food and lots of it. He even kept an open barrel of apples on deck for anyone to help himself. It was this apple barrel that came to save all our lives. After sundown one evening, I was headed to my berth when I decided I'd like an apple. The deck was shadowy dark, and I couldn't tell if the barrel was empty, so I climbed inside. As I sat half-dozing, I heard voices close at hand and quickly recognized them as Long John Silver and a young deckhand.
"I was quartermaster on Flint's ship," Silver said. "I'd already lost my leg then in the same fight that blinded old Pew."
"Flint was the flower of the flock," the young deckhand said.
"I made good money with him," Silver agreed. "Though it's not the making that counts, it's the saving. That's why I never fell to begging like poor Pew."
Silver sat back against the apple barrel, making it tip slightly.
"How will you get your money after this?" the deckhand asked. "You'll not be able to show your face in Bristol."
"My old missus has it all," Silver said, "and she knows where to meet me. We'll live careful, but well, you mark my words, and you can live well too."
"I wasn't sure about this until I talked to you," the deckhand said. "But here's my hand on it. I'm with you."
After that, the young man scurried away, but Silver still leaned on the apple barrel, so I didn't dare move. Then I heard the voice of Israel Hands.
"How long? I've had about enough of Captain Smollett, and we've added all that'll join." "The captain's a first-rate seaman," Silver said. "I'll be happy to see him get us to the island safely. I wouldn't mind letting him get us mostly home, but I know how impatient you are." "So we make our move when we get to the island?" Hands asked eagerly. "What say you? Shall we maroon the captain and his friends or kill them?" Silver said. "You know what Billy Bones always said," Hands answered. "Dead men don't bite." "Fair enough, I vote dead too," Silver agreed.
At that cold vote, I felt an icy chill. I had to tell the doctor and the squire before these pirates murdered us in our bunks. How was I going to get out of the apple barrel? Just then, the voice of the lookout shouted,
"Land ho!"
In the rush of feet across the deck, I slipped unseen from my barrel. I looked around the open deck and ran to join Dr. Livesey along the rail.